Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity again to look into your word. And I pray that you would just open up something to each heart here. I pray for personal revelation through your spirit to my heart and to each heart here. Speak to us, Lord. You know each one of us. It's a personal relationship that we desire with you. And we're all created differently. Not one of us is the same, Lord. Not one of us is exactly the same as the other. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak very personally to each heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So you can turn to the book of John. My wife reminded me that I think I've been in that book multiple times recently. I kind of tend to sometimes get stuck in places. Even in daily life, sometimes I have my certain things that I get stuck on. And my wife knows some of those things. But the book of John, I noticed something as I was looking at John 13, and you can turn there if you want. I noticed that, something a little unique there. Right after Jesus washes the disciples' feet, he says something that almost at first glance might seem a little bit out of context. But I think that maybe we could say chapter 13 through 17 is almost like the send-off service in a nutshell that Jesus was preparing his disciples for, the send-off that he was preparing them for 3+ years of his earthly ministry as they were walking with him. And here he is as he sort of, as the opening ceremony of this send-off service for them, he washes their feet. And then here's what he says in chapter 13. And let's see, down after he's done washing their feet, in verse 20, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he that receives whomsoever I send receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me." So then it's like he continues to speak to them in the next several chapters, what I'm going to call their send-off service in a nutshell. And then he didn't really make the wrap-up statement until after his resurrection. And we can turn back there to chapter 20, where after his resurrection, and he meets them again there, meets the disciples there for the first time, he says in verse 21 of chapter 20, he says these words, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said these things, this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whomsoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whoever sins you retain, they are retained." Now those last words were very, very important. And then I'm not sure, but it almost seems like, according to the book of Luke, maybe there was just a measure of understanding that they received. According to the book of Luke, and maybe I'll just flip back there a little bit and get grab that context a little bit. Let's see, Luke chapter 24 here, and it says that, and I'll just paraphrase a little bit, verse 44, the last chapter there of Luke, he's talking to them after his resurrection, and he says, "All these words that I was talking to you about, these are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then it says this in verse 45, "Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." And jumping down, So it seems like they had a measure of understanding when he breathed on them the Holy Ghost, breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. But then he says in verse 49 here in Luke, behold, I send unto you the send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And so they didn't actually have their launching of their send-off until, as we see there in the book of Acts, the beginning of chapter 2, where they were actually launched, where they were, not only was their understanding opened, and they understood that Christ needed to suffer these things, but then they were launched into, as Jesus said at the beginning of the book of Acts, you shall receive power to be my witnesses after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So in the second chapter of Acts, we see them being actually being launched into their, what he was sending them into. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Power from heaven. Power to be his witnesses. Now, it's pretty incredible because the kind of power that Jesus is giving them here is, it's mind-blowing. He says, and I don't know if this has ever jumped out to you, but basically there in John 13, we can flip back there again. We'll be flipping back and forth here a little bit. John 13, after his foot washing there, the verse we read already, he says, whoever receives the one that I'm paraphrasing, whoever receives the one that I'm sending receives me, and whoever receives me receives the Father. So that's an incredible position of power that they have. That literally, whoever receives them, it's as though they're receiving Christ and the Father, ultimately. And other word, and other places, whoever rejects, we can read where whoever rejects you, it's as though they're rejecting me and the Father. And he basically said, you know, if they reject you in the city, basically just wipe the dust off your feet and move on. Now, what is the position, the heart position and the posture in which he is sending them in such a way that whoever rejects them, whoever receives them, is it's the same as though they're receiving Christ? And I think the context helps us there. So if you look at the context, what did he just get done doing? Washing their feet. And he says, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, then you ought also to do that same thing. I'm just paraphrasing there. And he says in verse 16, there in chapter 13, truly, truly, I say to you that the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. So as Jesus is launching this and opening this little, if you will, chapter 13 through 17, this opening this little send-off service for them, he launches it and gives them this example, saying, this is the heart posture and the condition that I want you to go with, this heart of a servant. I'm sending you with the heart of the servant, this same heart posture that I'm giving you an example of. Sending you as a servant. And then again, the verses that we read there in John 20, when he comes back around after his resurrection and again says these words, he says, I'm sending you, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm sending you just in exactly the same way that the Father sent me. I'm sending you now in that same exact way. Chapter 20 and verse 21. And then out of that, I'm sending you in that same way. And he breathes on them the Holy Spirit. And then he gives them another tremendous, like almost mind-blowing verse. I think the ESV says something like this. Whoever sins you retain, they are retained. Well, actually, that's the KJV here. I think it says, let me see here. I think I had written it down here. It says, if you forgive the sins of any, here's what it says in verse 21. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. That's an incredibly powerful statement. How can that be? That they can say, you're forgiven and you're not forgiven. That's an incredibly powerful statement. But I think as we go along here, we're going to see a little bit what it takes to get there. So if Jesus is sending them in exactly the same way that the Father sent him, let's explore that a little bit. How was Jesus sent and how did he live? As he gave us an example here, he came, he washed their feet, and he's positioning himself as a servant. And he's saying, now you're going to be sent off as a servant as well. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. I'm going to send you off in this same way. And of course, other verses that, other times when Jesus is talking to them, he says, I came to what? I came to serve, not to be served. I came to serve. How did he say it? I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many, something like that. And so he's wanting to send them in the same way as a servant. And I guess for a title, maybe we could say something like this, and this is kind of the progression of how we're going to follow along here. Sent by Jesus as a servant without a personal agenda. And that last phrase is very, very important. Any personal agenda will mess it up totally. No personal agenda. Sent by Jesus as a servant without a personal agenda. And we might add, actually, we should probably add, filled with God's Spirit. So there he is, positioning himself as a servant, and he's saying, now I'm gonna send you, and you're not any greater than, verse 16, than he that sent you, basically, I'm paraphrasing. And whoever, verse 20, whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the Father. That's some incredible position of being sent. I already mentioned that, but yeah, it's basically he came to serve and not to be served, and he's calling his followers to do the same. He says that in Matthew 20 there. And Isaiah pictures Jesus, and here's where we're going to add a little bit something to this servant part. Isaiah pictures Jesus as a, what kind of a servant? As a servant who is going to be suffering. Suffering for the service that he is giving here. And so it pictures him there as a lamb, what does it say, to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb. He's not going to open his mouth. He's going to be just like a defenseless lamb, not defending himself, just allowing himself to suffer. And so then Jesus, if you remember what he said, he says this several times to them, I think, several different places. He says to his followers, he says, I'm sending, there where he sent the 12 out in Matthew 10, he sent them out, and how did he say he's going to be sending them? He said, I'm sending you into what condition? He said, I'm sending you as lambs or sheep, I think he says there, as sheep among what? Among wolves. So it was like in this little mini kind of short-term scent excursion that they had while he was with them. He says, I'm sending you as sheep among wolves. A very kind of dangerous position where there's very likely going to be some suffering. But he says right after that, he says, therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And so Jesus was wise. We can see that in how he responded when those who wanted to trick him and trip him up and catch him and corner him and have a reason to get rid of him, they would try to trap him with his words. He answered very wisely, didn't he? So he's asking us to do the same. Don't just say the first thing that comes to your mind when you can tell someone's coming with the wrong motive or something. Be very wise. But then he says this, wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And another translation, I think it says innocent. And I like what the ESV says. It says, not the ESV, but the Amplified. It says, kind of in parentheses, it has, have no self-serving agenda. I love that. The picture of a dove, just harmless, helpless, or the picture of a lamb. I'm not defending myself. I'm being sent as a servant without any agenda to defend myself, and innocent as a dove. I have nothing to protect. I have nothing to hide, nothing to prove. I'm just here at a very vulnerable place, actually, and willing to suffer as a servant in that way. Sent by Jesus as a servant who is willing to suffer with no personal hidden agenda. And Jesus is wanting to send his disciples and us by extension in that same way through our life. He sends us filled with his Spirit, because it's impossible without his Spirit. Without his Spirit, I will defend myself. I will, if I'm rejected, it's going to be really hard. If I have this personal hidden agenda that somehow in my service, I'm wanting to be exalted and seen as something in the eyes of men, or maybe even make myself feel like something to God, like more like God should receive me now because I'm doing work for him. And if I have that kind of a motive in my heart, then any hidden agenda like that, wanting to be seen of men, that's pretty devastating. But if I can just go with as a dove, harmless as a dove, innocent as a dove, with no hidden agenda, no self-serving hidden agenda, that is so freeing. As the Father hath sent me, even so I am sending you. Jesus sent as a lamb, sent as a suffering servant, just like a lamb to the slaughter, like a sheep before her shears is dumb. He didn't open his mouth. He didn't defend himself. But he was wise as a serpent, but he was also harmless as a dove. No hidden agenda. And we're going to look at that soon here. No hidden agenda. As a servant expecting to suffer without any personal hidden agenda. Sounds like losing our life for the gospel's sake, doesn't it? For Jesus and the gospel's sake. And isn't that exactly what Jesus said? If we do that, we'll find it. So, without a personal or hidden agenda. Let's flip just again some of Jesus' words, John chapter 6. He says, if you want to turn there, you may. We might flip back and forth here a little bit. John chapter 6, verse 38. For I have come down from heaven. And here's where I'm going with the not a personal agenda comment there or phrase. I've come down from heaven not to do my own will. There's no personal agenda here. Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And so Jesus was sent in that way, not to do his own will, but the will of him who sent him. And in the same way, he is now sending us, not to do our will, with no hidden agenda, harmless as a dove, innocent as a dove, and filled with his Spirit. Chapter 5, flipping back a little bit further. I can do nothing on my own. Verse 30, chapter 5. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. And why? The rest of the verse says it. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. No hidden self-serving agenda. And then Jesus says in chapter 7, if you want to flip over there, you may. Chapter 7 and verse 17 and 18. He says this, if anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. Now that's a mouthful. But the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and there is no falsehood. In him there is no falsehood. Or we might say, there is no hidden self-seeking agenda that is seeking my own glory, seeking to exalt myself. Let's just read those the beginning of verse 18 again. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. But on the other hand, the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and there is no falsehood, no hidden self-serving agenda. Harmless as a dove or innocent as a dove. Now, in the discourse that Jesus had a little bit later, I think in chapter 8 here, with the Pharisees there and the people, he says, basically just paraphrasing, he says to them, you know, I know you guys, you don't have the love of God in you. If someone else would come in their own name, you would receive him, but you're not receiving me because I didn't come in my own name and you don't receive me. And then after that is when he says, I know that you don't have the love of God in you. So Jesus did not come to exalt himself. And Jesus asked them there in, it says, how can you believe that receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Again, just as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. As a servant, expecting to suffer without any personal, hidden, self-serving agenda. But there is a heavenly agenda that he calls us to and that he is sending us out with, isn't there? There's a heavenly agenda. And so when he says to the disciples, when he says, peace be unto you, when he first meets them there, and then he says, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Then what does he do? He breathes on them the Holy Spirit. And out of that, they are empowered to go with heaven's agenda, not their own. Apart from the Holy Spirit, my agenda, my motives are going to be so messed up. I mean, be seeking my own glory, seeking to somehow make a name for myself or just to become something, hopefully a little bit more acceptable before God by what I'm doing. But with the Holy Spirit, it's like, you know, that's all taken care of. Like Jesus said to the disciples, look, don't rejoice that the devils are subject to you. Rejoice that your names are written in the book of life, something like that. That's already settled. Jesus took care of that. He said, it's finished on the cross. Now I can just go filled with his Spirit with no hidden self-seeking agenda, trying to exalt myself, to make myself look good in the eyes of God, you know, or make myself feel better before God or in the eyes of people. I can just go. And Jesus said, basically, in a nutshell, trust me so much, like that the loss, and I'm paraphrasing, the loss that you're going to be experiencing as I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves, harmless as doves, that loss that you're going to be experiencing, don't worry about it. It's going to be as though you haven't lost one hair. If we think about it from that day's perspective, even if we lose our life, he said, just don't even fear those who are going to be able to kill the body. But afterward, they have nothing they can do anymore. Don't worry about it. Just fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. That's all we need to be concerned about. No honor of man, no glory of man. All of that can just be, we can just be free from that as we allow ourselves to be filled with his Spirit and to be sent in that same way as the Father sent Jesus, willing to suffer into the environment in which we are being sent. Suffer for his name's sake. All of these things that I'm talking about are easier said than done, aren't they? Because it costs me my life. But it is definitely freeing not to have to worry about myself. And that's a journey that God has each one of us on, a very personal journey that God has each one of us on in dealing with ourself. Because we can, wow, there's just a lot of ways that self can manifest itself. We can just, you know, maybe even we have done a good job at cleaning up our life. And it looks pretty good. compared to, if we compare ourselves among ourselves, it looks pretty good maybe compared to others, right? But whose glory am I seeking? Because God sees right through that, doesn't he? And so if I'm just settling for man's glory, you know, maybe I'll be content with that, but there's much more. And to be free from that is very liberating. So yes, there is a heavenly worldwide agenda, but it's very costly. And we can get on board with that agenda through the power of the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus said to his disciples there when he showed himself to them after his resurrection. And he says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And then he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. And then he launched them there in the book of Acts, chapter 2. And they were empowered. Praise God. So, empowered. Empowered through the Spirit of God. So the only way to get into alignment with this heavenly worldwide agenda, if you will, is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's a position. I can't manufacture it. I can only receive. Jesus said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. I can just put myself into a position of receiving, kind of with the posture that Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount. Poor in spirit, recognizing my poorness in spirit. And out of that, as he sort of wraps up toward the end of the book of chapter 7 there in the Sermon on the Mount, he basically says, ask your Father. Ask your Heavenly Father for this good thing. How much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? And I believe Luke would indicate that this good thing is the Holy Spirit. All these good things that we see, that we want in our life, in exchange for the things that we see that are not good, the Holy Spirit enables us to change in those ways. And the more we allow him to do that, the more we can just let loose of all our hidden self-serving agendas, the more free we are to just, wow, like, maybe kind of come to the place where, like those on the right, like, what? You mean we were serving you in this way? Where did we do this even? Like, we were just living out of the reality of how you changed us. And we weren't necessarily thinking, wow, what can we do here somehow become acceptable before God? Like the others who were there, like Jesus said, you know, there in the end of Sermon on the Mount, you know, what? We did all these wonderful good things, and I mean, we're not being accepted. I'm paraphrasing. You know, we're not being accepted. Well, I mean, we should be, because cast out devils and did many wonderful works and all these things. But what was their hidden self-serving agenda? What was driving them, really? Were they really functioning out of who they were? How the Holy Spirit had changed them? And the good things that the Holy Spirit had done in their hearts and lives? Maybe not. Maybe they were still trying to become acceptable to God and receiving glory of men by what they were doing. All the wonderful things that looked so great, looked like a move of God, maybe. No hidden self-serving agenda. You know, one day, I think the disciples asked Jesus, what did they say? Lord, are there few that be saved? Jesus said, many are going to try. Few are going to be able. Many are not going to be harmless as a dove. There's going to be lots of self-serving agendas that maybe no one else even knew about. It looks so good to everybody else. But God says, I never knew you. There was no personal exchanging of that which is not good, that which is evil, for that which is good, and receiving, asking the Heavenly Father, oh God, I have nothing good in me, and I need something good from you. But that exchange, the more we allow ourselves to exchange those evil things, those hidden self-serving agenda motives in our heart, the more free we are of that, the more liberated we are to just align ourselves with heaven's agenda. And as we do that, I think maybe out of that, maybe is where the reality of what Jesus said after he said, you know, receive you the Holy Spirit. And he says, now whoever sins, you retain. They are, whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. And whoever sins you retain, they are retained. We have to walk in it ourselves before we can have the authority to say that. We have to really actually receive it for ourselves. Like Jesus expressed there in Matthew 18, coming as a child with absolutely nothing to be able to enter into the kingdom. Just 100% received, that's it. If I'm coming in any other way, by somehow a little bit of good that I can do, just a little bit, have patience with me, maybe I can take care of this huge debt. No, not really. As you see there in the last part of chapter 18. And then the congregation, we as a congregation, actually, like Jesus said, I think we have the authority as we live in the reality of that, coming as a child with nothing, no hidden self-serving agenda, just simply receiving the forgiveness. And then out of that, we stay in the posture of that, humbly, like the servant position. We get sent, we get filled with heaven's power, with his spirit, and we begin to align ourselves with heaven's perspective, then our judgment will be clear. And we can, instead of coming across with judgment, we can come across with a heart that seeks to save that which has gone astray, as we see there in the book of Matthew 18 there. And even if someone sins against me, I can go with a heart that seeks to gain that which has gone astray. And what does it say? If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Because I'm beginning to align myself with heaven's perspective. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and I want nothing more than that individual, to see that individual saved and come and be restored. And I am willing, like, it's never an option to not forgive, as we see at the end of Matthew 18, never an option. We always forgive. Just like Jesus, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. And just like Jesus, even up to the point of death on the cross, we're sent out as sheep among wolves, where we're very likely going to suffer. In fact, we are. We just will suffer if we keep ourselves aligned with heaven's agenda, allow ourselves willingly to be filled with his spirit, letting go of all hidden self-serving, self-seeking agendas. And then, whether I can't forgive there in Matthew 18, or whether I can't hear where I've sinned against someone else, which it happens, we sin against others. And if I can't hear that, I can't receive that, nope, I didn't do anything wrong, then I must not be aligning myself with heaven's agenda. Because you go back further, a little bit further there, Matthew 18, and Jesus is like saying, well, first of all, you got to come in at the entry level, wait, like as a child with nothing, just come and receive, or you can't even enter, or you can't even function like this. You can't even hear when you've sinned against someone else, and you can't forgive others either. So first of all, come in like a child, and then begin to align yourself instead of being offensive toward little believers, immature believers who are still trying to grapple with this thing, and boy, not sure, you know, kind of maybe not used to forgiving as freely as maybe someone that's older and more mature should. And then the Father says, look, if you sin against these little immature believers, I'm paraphrasing, you're not aligning yourself with heaven's agenda. And again, I'm paraphrasing all of this because in heaven, they're angels. Heaven's agenda is to save. They're watching these little ones, ready to save. Then he goes into the story, I think, of the lost sheep there. Your heavenly Father, if one goes astray, he's gonna seek to gain. And then he says, also, by the way, if anybody sins against you, just go and tell him his fault. But you see the heart again. If he hears you, you have gained. See that? And if I'm not coming with a heart to gain, I'm probably in the last part of the chapter. I'm coming with a hand on the throat. And then I'm out. So if I can't hear, I'm out of heaven's agenda alignment. And if I can't receive and listen to others where I've sinned against them, then I'm also out of alignment. I'm not aligning myself with heaven's agenda. The angels are in alignment with heaven's agenda. They're seeking to save. The Father seeks to, that which has gone astray, that one. And then the Holy Spirit gets poured out. And Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. And he breathes on them the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins you retain, whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whoever sins you retain, they are retained. Wow, that's quite the incredible position. But it only is as accurate as our alignment with heaven's agenda. If there's any hidden self-serving agendas, it's going to be totally messed up. Any seeking to protect myself, keep myself from getting hurt, to align myself with this heavenly worldwide agenda means I'm willingly placing myself into a place of, I'm expecting to get hurt by others. I'm expecting it. But I'm never expecting to not forgive them. I will expect to forgive because I'm here seeking that which has gone astray. And that's how I'm being sent as a servant. And in that way, I believe, as we align ourselves with heaven's agenda, whoever receives us with that kind of a heart, with no hidden self-serving, self-seeking agenda, whoever receives us, it's as though they're receiving Christ. And it's as though they're receiving the Father. Because we're coming with their heart. So maybe we could just, I guess we didn't look very much into what I called chapter 13 through 17, what I called the send-off service for the disciples in a nutshell. I mean, he was preparing them all their years they walked with him for their send-off, but we didn't really look at that very much. I mean, we could just flip over to chapter 17 a little bit there. Why don't we do that? Chapter 17, verse 22. Well, let's back up. Verse 21. Jesus was praying and he's saying, I'm not just praying for these disciples, but I'm also praying for all those that should believe on me through their word. And then verse 21, he says, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. There's a worldwide agenda. Jesus wants the world to believe that the Father did indeed send him. And this is a very good verse. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one even as we are one. So Jesus wants us to participate in the same glory that he experienced as he walked on earth with his Father. The same glory that he experienced. First of all, I mean, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What more could we want? And then out of that, he was sent. He launched, first of all, got tested. We also need to get tested. And he got tested there in the wilderness. And he came out of those tests and he had passed every one. And out of that, a tremendously fruitful ministry for three years or so. And he experienced that glory. He was seeking, as he said to the Pharisees there, I'm not coming in my own name. And as he also said, look, if someone is seeking their own glory, they're not true. But whoever is, I'm paraphrasing again, whoever is doesn't seek their own glory I should just look, where had I written that down? Whoever doesn't seek their own glory, but the glory of him who sent him, the same is true, and there is no falsehood in him. No hidden self-seeking agenda, if you will. And so Jesus, actually here in John 17, he says, verse 22, the glory that you gave to me, I have given to them that they may be one, even as we are one. And so as I'm seeking only the glory of God, and Jesus said to the folks there earlier in John, how can you believe that receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only his glory, that's it. And so he wants us to share in that same glory, but it's very costly to share in that glory. Very costly. It costs me my life, my reputation, my everything. No matter how good of a job I have done in cleaning up my life of my own effort and strength. I need to even let go of that. That's sometimes even harder to let go of because I have worked all my life to become wherever I think I am now, which is really nothing. Filthy rags is all it is. And then to let go of that, whoa, wow, that's incredible. And he says, I want to share my glory with them. Pray that they could be one. Verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Again, this worldwide agenda. So that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast, get this is incredible, hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So not only does Jesus send us in the same way that the Father sent him, with no self-seeking hidden agenda, seeking our own glory to exalt ourselves, to become something, but also he wants us to experience that same kind of love relationship that he and the Father experienced in his earthly ministry as he walked here on this earth. That kind of love relationship that it doesn't matter if everybody else rejects me. I have one who receives me, and that's all I need. Like, what more could I want? It's very costly. But Jesus promises that whoever loses their life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall find it. It's very costly, but it's extremely rewarding. Let's see. I think maybe we'll just kind of stop with that. So as we align ourselves with heaven's agenda, filled with the Spirit of Jesus, we actually have a tremendous position of authority. We can say forgiven or not forgiven. Not because, oh, I have something against one or the other. No, because I'm aligning myself. I have righteous judgment because Jesus said, my judgment is just because I seek not my own, what? My own will. So our will is not an option in our alignment with heaven's agenda. It's not an option. And we wrestle with that, but surrendering and letting go of my own will is very liberating. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I know it could have been said much better. So I do pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each one of our hearts. Lord, there's so many things that could have been said, and we never could say them all in order to speak into each need of each of our hearts. And Lord, you see my need of my heart. Lord, I pray that this week, as we do whatever we do, Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday, I pray that you would speak to us, Lord. In everything that we do, that you would speak to us through your Spirit and show us those hidden, self-serving, self-seeking agendas in why we do what we do, even and especially the good things that we do, Lord. Am I free from myself in what I'm doing, or am I seeking only your glory? Sent by Jesus as a servant with no hidden agenda, filled and empowered with your Spirit, aligning ourselves with heaven's agenda. Help us, Lord, to walk in that way by your grace, humbly, in Jesus' name. Amen.